Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to Ecclesiastes, and we're in chapter 11. We are going to finish this book, Lord willing. If the Lord has other plans, He hasn't told us yet, but we have been in the process of going through this book now for over a year, and a little bit over that, and we've been touching on Koheleth's wise sayings, and he's been comparing the natural man's thoughts with those of the believer, the Jewish believer. And it's been a comparison between the genuine, the authentic, and what else? Yeah, the fake, the fraud. The ideas that humans put forth, human reasoning puts forth about life. And as we come into 10, 11, and 12, in the final studies of the writings of Koheleth, or Solomon, as he writes here, he begins to bring us back to the true purpose of life. And by the time we reach chapter 12, he's going to tell us, what is the end thereof? What's the conclusion of the matter? Fear God, right, and keep His commandments. Fear God and keep His commandments. And so we're looking in verses 1 through 8, and many Bible scholars and Hebrew scholars would place verses 9 and 10 with the next chapter. It fits with what the narrative is over in chapter 12. And so we're going to study the first 8 verses of chapter 11 as one whole. And we're going to be dealing with the subject here tonight of looking beyond what we see. Looking beyond what we see. And I'm going to be taking you through some of these verses of Scripture here. I want to read the first 8 verses, and I'm going to be reading to you tonight from the Complete Jewish Bible, translation by Dr. David Stern. And he touches on some things that I think are helpful. And I want you to follow along in your Bible as I read from this English translation of the Hebrew. Send your resources over the seas. Eventually you will reap a return. Divide your merchandise into 7 or 8 shares, since you don't know what disasters may come on the earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. Whether a tree falls toward the north or the south, the place where the tree falls is where it stays. He who keeps watching the wind will never sow. He who keeps looking at the clouds will never reap. Just as you don't know the way of the wind or how the bones grow in a pregnant woman's womb, so you don't know the works of God, the maker of everything. In the morning, sow your seed, and don't slack off until evening, for you don't know which sowing will succeed, this or that, or if both will do well. Then the light will be sweet, and it will be a pleasure to see the sun. For if a person lives many years, let him take joy in them all, yet remembering that there will be many days of darkness, that all to come is futile. Looking again, he comes back to that same thing of in the human mind. You grow old and you live your life, and when you get down to the end, you say, well, I can't take anything with me. I'm going to die. That of course, is the human mind, and that is not authentic. That's not real. For the Christian, there is a purpose to everything under the sun. And that's where he's headed here as we go into chapter 12, beginning at verse 9. As we go into chapter 12, we'll be looking at those things in the future. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you so much for your goodness to us, and I pray in our study tonight that our hearts and minds might know and understand that there are many things we do not understand. There are things about wisdom that are insufficient. There are many times things that we feel very self-confident about, and yet we find as we grow older that that confidence slips away because the things about us and our human body begins to fail. And I pray that you would help us to understand that our reliance should not be upon self. Our reliance should not be upon nature. Our reliance should not be upon governments, but rather our reliance should be on the true and living God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray that you'd work in our hearts tonight as we consider these truths, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Send your resources over the seas. Eventually, you will reap a reward. Put yourself back in the time of Solomon. When you put goods on a ship, you didn't know whether the ship was going to make it to its destination or not. Because the ships of that day were wooden. They were subject to the swells that they would face on the sea. They had sails of human making. They had rudders of human making. They had human captains. But many times a ship would not make it to its destination. Just recently they found a ship in the Black Sea, perfectly preserved, over 800 years old, still laden with all of the goods that it was sent out on, but a huge storm came up on the Black Sea, sunk it, everybody on board died, and there was this ship, completely preserved. As they sent the cameras around the ship, it was just amazing. It would seem like if you raised it, it would just float right off. Nothing seemed to be damaged on it, and yet it never made it to its destination. Off the coast of Pensacola, we have vessels that have been sunk through the years. University of West Florida has been dealing with one such shipwreck, receiving the artifacts that came from Spain. It never made it to shore because a hurricane hit, sunk it out here in the Gulf, just off Pensacola, never made it to its destination. So, whenever a person sent their goods to go to the other side, they did so, whether they realized it or not, they did so by faith. They put their goods on there, realizing this may make it or it may not make it. Now, there have been many that have taken this to talk about, you know, cast your bread upon the waters, and that's a picture of generosity, and it certainly is, but dealing with profit, as what he's been dealing with in some of the subject themes through here, he's dealing with a business person that makes a decision, I am going to send those goods over, and maybe when the ship comes back, I will make a profit from that. It will be beneficial. But I send it off and I will receive it by faith. And he's making a very important point here. Notice, please, investments by faith. Understand something, too. We make investments by faith all the time in missions. We send our gifts over by faith. We're not there. We're not in the Philippines. We're not in Uzbekistan. We're not in all these different places, but our money, God's money, is going there, and we're sending this investment by faith. Do you know what? When we get to heaven, we will get to see some of the fruits of the investments that are made. This morning, Alejandra was in the church. She is the daughter of Pastor Barzola. And she was in the church when they received the gift from Argentina of 2 oxygen generators. This was in 2020 that you folks gave to. And she said, Pastor Brainerd, you will not know until we get to heaven, you will not know the opportunities that were granted by those 2 oxygen generators. Several people's lives were spared. As a result, they came to faith in Jesus Christ. They were not part of the church. They were helping some of the relatives of those that were part of the church so that they could survive. And those generators saved, she said, I don't even know how many people were saved as a result. God supplied for them to provide 300 meals a day at the door of their church in Peru during that whole COVID time. There were many, many Roman Catholics that were coming and standing in line because their churches were not doing anything. And here was this Protestant church, evangelical church, giving out food and giving out the gospel at the same time. And those people came to faith in Christ. You know, we made an investment not knowing how God would use it. You make investments by faith. And that's the picture here. Don't be afraid to cast your bread upon the waters. Don't be afraid to make that investment because God will take it and use it for His honor and for His glory. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after several days. And then a second theme comes up here. Generosity should be the characteristic of your life because you don't know what's going to happen in the future. I am so thankful for this group of people right here. It's one of the most generous groups of people that I know. People that just keep giving and keep giving. And we're able to be able to send those things out. Now, we don't know what the times are going to be. How much longer do we have on different aspects or different places around the world to minister the gospel? We don't know. Do you know that over 1,000 people were killed this past week in Syria? And you know who were targeted? Christians. Over 1,000 people were murdered in the streets. They paraded women naked before they shot them in the head. The United States, Marco Rubio, sent a very strong message to them and said, this better stop. This was a group of rebels that are aligned with Assad, who was deposed from the throne, and they just went on a rampage. And we're already seeing people are saying, why are they targeting Christians? And they were targeting other ethnic groups. It wasn't just Christians, but the majority of that group were Christians that were targeted, blaming them for Assad being deposed. This continues on. Now, how many more years are Christians going to be able to minister within the country? I'm thankful for people like Raymond and his group of people that are training people in Syria to be a witness for Christ, to give out the gospel, making investments in people, training people. On this side, we don't know how it's going to turn out. We never do. But God does. And so we have to continue to make those investments. We continue to send that support to the ministry in Lebanon that's reaching into Syria, that's reaching into Egypt, that's reaching into the other Arab world through the internet to train up individuals, investing in their lives so that the gospel can be carried to those places in Arabic. And none of us speak that here. But our dollars know no language barrier. Amen? We're making an investment. It's God's money. We're just taking it and directing it into His work. Cast your bread upon the waters. Make the investment, as it says here in this passage. Kind of strange language. We're not familiar with it, but to the Jew, it meant a great deal. For it said, divide your merchandise into 7 or 8 shares, since you don't know what disasters may come upon the earth. In other words, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Diversify. And that's what we do in missions. That's what we do in Christian service. That's what we do. If you're a wise business person and you're investing, you diversify. I am so thankful for the vision of Dr. Hobbs. I have many, many times over the years just marveled at how God worked in his heart and Aunt Carolyn's heart to diversify the ministry. Not just a little church up on the hill, but a Christian school and a youth athletic club and a children's Bible club ministry. And ministering to the little kid in the learning center. All of these different diversification, because you just don't know how one thing is going to go or the other. God gave him a vision. And I have people all the time that come up to me and said, you know, this ministry touched our family's life. And back in 1960, this, that, and the other. I've had them come up to me, grandparents that are watching their kids up here that were impacted by gospel projects or Santa Rosa Christian School. Robert texted me this afternoon, rather long text, thanking us for the impact that we had in Luca's life through gospel projects in Santa Rosa Christian School. He was on our baseball team. He and his sister played ball. He said, I just want to thank you for what gospel projects did in his heart and life. Now, you know, you don't know the impacts, but you make investments, and you do so by what? Faith. Not knowing. Not knowing what the final account. God knows it, but we don't. Let's go on, because I want to move through this quickly. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. Whether a tree falls toward the north or the south, the place where the tree falls is where it stays. He who keeps watching the wind will never sow, and he who keeps looking at the clouds will never reap. What is being said here? Look over here to your right And we're looking at cause and effect and the limits of analysis. All right? Now, I happen to be a person that I love following the weather. Mrs. O'Pager's kind of like that. I've got more weather apps than you can possibly put on a phone. We have to. You run a ball program, you're outside. You run a pool, you're outside. You better be watching the weather with lightning here in Florida like we have. And then in the soccer season, I'm constantly looking at the weather, and people are constantly texting me, "Are we playing tonight? It's raining here in Pace." And sometimes I'll say, "It's not raining in Milton. We're planning on playing tonight." Or whatever. We'll post a message up. Following the weather. But you know what the weather does in Florida? It changes faster than you can spin around and spot. There's limitations on analytics. How many times as a kid did we watch the hurricanes out in the Gulf do strange things? I remember a hurricane that sat there and just went in a circle, and we didn't know where it was going to go. The weather prognosticators would say, "Oh, it's going into, but no, it's not going into Pensacola. It's going to go into Gulfport. No, it's not going to go there. It's going to go to Tallahassee." It was just not knowing. We're limited human beings. So we have to be careful not to put our faith and trust in things that are failures. We do things by faith. But if you let analytics go to its completeness, it would keep you from doing the things you ought to be doing. For instance, in the springtime, you ought to be preparing the soil and planting the seed. But if you said, "Oh, the wind's not right today, I'm not going to plant today." And then the next day, it's supposed to rain, I'm not going to plant. If you constantly do that, you'll not get the seed in the ground, and therefore you won't get the harvest. Sometimes you have to go ahead and do what you're supposed to do, no matter what the analytics say. This is just practical Christian living here. We're limited. We don't understand all the things that are there. If the clouds are full of rain, they will empty themselves on the earth. There's nobody who disagrees with that. Sometimes the rain will keep us from doing what we need to do. But just because it says it's going to rain this coming weekend does not mean that I cancel everything today. That's the point that he's making here. "Oh no, it's going to rain this coming weekend. We can't do that. We can't do this." Now wait a minute. Can the weather change? Yes. Yes, it can. You may have to cancel those events. But the point is this. Don't let the analytics, the cause and effects, keep you from doing what you're supposed to do. Some things have to be done by faith. We reached out by faith as a ministry to take that two-story building down there that sat idle for nearly 30 years. It has been something I know in my heart, and many of you have been praying for years. "God, what do you have for that building?" And with Step Up and the increase in student body, we began to see what we needed to do with that building. We needed to transform it. Over the last year, it's been being transformed. I don't know, I'm so excited about what I'm seeing now. You know, you're not too excited in the deconstruction stage. Chris wasn't out there, "Woo-hoo! Man, this is great. We just tore out the bathrooms." You don't get excited about that. What you get excited about is when the new stuff starts going in. And the walls and the electrical and the air conditioning and the stairwells on the front of the building and the old-timey stairwells that have been there serving us for 55 years were cut off and dropped to the ground. And Joe Palmer came up this past week and bricked up the holes that used to be the entrance and exit on the upper story. Progress! In the process, I think, breaking up the back door that used to be to our apartment when Beth and I first got married. That's where our apartment was located. It was kind of a sad thing to watch. You know, that used to be the place where we'd take our kids bundled up after church, you know, carrying them in to the house. And that was our place where we lived for 8 years. But that hole was being bricked up. Not going to be needed anymore for that purpose. It's got another purpose. We're making an investment. Now, we haven't had one student in that building yet. "Oh, no. What are we going to do? We don't have one student yet." Well, it's not time yet. We got to get the building finished, right? We've stepped out by faith, made an investment, And we're praying that God, and you know what He's already doing? We're seeing the numbers. Just an amazing thing of what God is doing right now. And He's providing staff. And He's taking care of those needs. And by faith, Lord willing, we're going to open that building this fall. That's our prayer. That's our desire. But we had to step out by faith to do that. This is the point of what is being shared here. It looked like that building would never get used again. But God had a different purpose and a different plan. Now, what if the rapture comes tomorrow? Oh, man, why did we spend all that money? They're not one of us going to be thinking that way. Amen? Not one of us. Praise God, we are done with buses. We are done with buildings. We are done with all the things that we're doing, lying in fields. I know Ben's going to be thankful. He's already said if he sees a baseball field up in heaven, he'll know he went to the wrong place. Yeah. But God has a purpose, and there are things that you have to do by faith, not even knowing what the final outcome might be. Don't let that lack of knowledge keep you from doing what you ought to do. That's the picture that's made here. Let's move on. Looking beyond what can be seen, how about the limits of human knowledge? And how about the limits of human self-confidence? You know, there are things that we can learn from this passage in this regard. And I want to read to you verse 5. Just as you don't know the way of the wind. Now, he had just made reference about the wind. Watching the wind. Oh, we can't plant the seed because the wind's not in the right direction. I don't know what that is all about. But that was a reason why they couldn't plant. Could not sow. Just as you don't know the way of the wind or how bones grow in a pregnant woman's womb, so you don't know the work of God, the maker of everything. There are just things that are beyond our capability of grasping. Now, we can study and we can go to college and we can learn a lot of stuff. All right? We can learn a lot of stuff about the human body. But you know what we still don't know? How do all those atoms work? What are they doing 24/7? All around the world in the universe, all the atoms that God has made, and each one of them with a unique purpose. It just blows your mind to think about the intelligence of God. And our little tiny intelligence seeks to know a little bit about it, but we don't know a lot about it. The wind comes up. What direction is it blowing? It changes directions at will. I don't know how that works. Now, you can be a meteorologist, but what I found out from Channel 3 is they don't know what's going on either. They get it wrong so many times. So the point is this. There are limits to human knowledge, and we've pointed this out several times in this study. There are limits to human knowledge. Does that mean we quit? Does that mean we can't really know anything? No, it doesn't mean that. There's an understanding that there are limits to knowledge. Number one, you don't know the way of the wind. You don't see how growing bones of the baby in a womb. Now, we have all kinds of things today that kind of show us what the baby looks like in there, but to see how God has created that embryo to change shape and to grow and bones, and then people lie and say, that's not really a human being. Oh, I'm going to tell you, the majestic human body created by God. You don't know the works of God who makes everything. There's limitations. We don't understand and know. We'll have all eternity to get a glimpse into the beauty of His creation and the beauty of what He does. But there's limits to our knowledge. And if you don't recognize that, you'll fall into the trap that liberals fall into. What are they saying? Did you see the people out singing this week up in Washington playing their guitars? And they had signs that said, go by the science. And you know what they were questioning? And they go by the science. Gender ideology. The Trump administration is not going by the science. And I sat there and said, do you know how dumb these people look? And yet that's passed off as knowledge today. It's passed off as knowledge. Oh, you can't say that there's only male and female. Yes, we can. Because God has said that. But when you reject that, you start exalting knowledge and you forget it's limited. And then finally, the limits of human self-confidence, verses 6 through 8. Again, I'm reading from Dr. David Stern's translation. In the morning, sow your seed, and don't slack off until evening, for you don't know which sowing will succeed, this or that, or if both will do well. Then the light will be sweet, and it will be a pleasure to see the sun. For if a person lives many years, let him take joy in them all, yet remembering that there will be many days of darkness, that all to come is futile. Now, in this passage of Scripture, I'm just going to bring out just a few things that I think, and I think it shows the limits of human self-confidence. The limits of human self-confidence. You know, some people exude self-confidence. It's an amazing thing. I remember we had a guy in our prayer group who was a piano phenom. I would invite him to come to the concert center where we would be working, and we would have a free period, and I said, if you've got a free period, come just play the piano for us. And we would shout out songs, and he would start playing it. I mean, beautifully. Whatever it was. Oh, how about this one, guys? He'd start playing Chopin. And he would just be going, and then he would go, Rachmaninoff, or he would be going on that. And Franz Liszt, and he would start going on that. And we were sitting over there. How can God give so much talent to one individual, and the rest of us look like dummies standing over here by the light panel going through the, you know, the things that we're going to do for the next class period? It was just amazing what this young man could do. Just an amazing ability to do that. And he exuded self-confidence. And he would get to the very end and say, did you hear any mistakes? Did you hear any mistakes? No! Shut up! Let's move on. We're going back to the dorm. You know, he would say that. Did you hear any mistakes? Now, his hands would be just flying over the piano. And he had been that way since he was a young kid. He had won so many competitions and contests and so forth like that. And he just exuded self-confidence, except in one area. He was terrible at English. He was terrible at English. Math whiz, science whiz, but he stunk at English. He would come back to the prayer group and he said, man, I bombed another English test today. He said, I'm never going to get this. I said, you'll get it. You know, maybe you need to go see the teacher and get some extra tutoring and so forth like that. Yeah, maybe I need to do that. But, I mean, he was gifted. But there was a limit to his self-confidence. You know, we need to understand and know this. We go out and sow seed with some uncertainty. You plant seeds in the ground. And I know with my dad and the years of experience that we had out there as kids growing things, that there'd be patches in the rows where there would not be one seed that would come up. And Dad would come back and say, hey, we got to go replant that. It didn't come up in that section. So he would go buy another group of seeds, and we would go out there and stick them down in the ground. And before long, they would start to fill in those spots. But sometimes, even in the second planting, there'd be some that wouldn't come up for whatever reason. There's uncertainty there. Now, my dad has a green thumb. Always has. He grew up on a farm. His dad had a greenhouse. They used to have a spot in the Cleveland Farmers Market where they took their goods. And Dad just exudes confidence when it comes to plants and so forth like that. I don't have that. I didn't get that green thumb like he did. But Dad, you have to admit, there's been times when you've planted things and they didn't do so hot. My dad is an African violet aficionado, we'll put it that way. And I remember my dad clipping off an African violet leaf, sticking it down in the ground, and that thing would grow, and he would be able to multiply certain variegated flowers that he would have. And it was just an amazing thing. And then sometimes we'd come back a week later, and that leaf would be, boop, dead, shriveled up. Dad pull it out, clip off another one, start all over again. Now, there's a limit to our confidence when we sow, because there's a measure of faith involved in the planting of the seed. And he says there, when you plant the seed in the morning, you just keep on planting because you don't know. Put yourself back in Middle Eastern times, way back in the past, when they used to spread the seed this way, They would cast the seed out, and they would say, just keep casting. You don't know how this section is going to do. You keep casting and fill in that whole section there. All right, because there's uncertainty involved with that. Self-confidence is good, but then there's a notice here. With age, things happen. There was a race that was held not too long ago. It was called the geriatric race. And they had everybody that was above 70 was allowed to enter. And they had this 79-year-old man that won the race. And he set a world record for his age group. And whenever he got done, I mean, he looked like an Olympian in form. And when he got to the end of the race, he got down to the end, and all of a sudden he started doing this. What was the limit? Still can run. He did good. But he looked like Kevin Gower. But no, just kidding. Kevin doesn't run. He rides a motorcycle. That's a whole lot easier. Safer, too, for everybody, right? Yeah, it was so funny to watch that video. As he gets done, he starts staggering a little bit and whatever. He won. He got the gold medal for the geriatric race. But it was showing. It was showing. The whole body was letting him know, what are you doing to me? Why are you doing this? All right. So the point here is finally wrapped up in verse 7. Then the light will be sweet. It will be a picture pleasant to see the sun. For if a person lives many years, let him take joy in them all. But during those years, there's some dark times too. There's some dark times. Robert Bob, as we know him, texted this afternoon, and he said, I never thought that I would be sending out texts like this. He said, I was looking so forward to seeing Luca get married, have kids, and said it was all taken away. He's got a great attitude, though. He's just turned it over to the Lord, and he said the Lord knows, and his will has been performed. But, you know, how difficult it is. That's a dark spot in life, and will always be there. Always be there, a remembrance of something that happened in the past. But there's also the pleasure of enjoying the sun that God has provided. Listen, folks, there are limits. There are limits that we have to understand and know as we walk here upon this earth. And I pray that we might learn to rest in the Lord. We act by faith, amen, and we trust Him to undertake for us all. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your Word. What a blessing it is to us. How it leads and guides us and gives us wisdom and understanding. We know that human wisdom and human self-confidence are limited because of the things that we don't know. But I pray, Father, we might understand and know that we have the wisdom which comes from on high. If any man lack that wisdom, all they have to do is ask, and You supply. I pray that You'd work in our hearts and lives, that we would live our lives here upon this earth, not according to human ideals and understandings, but rather from biblical understandings, and know the pleasure of Your good grace in everything that we do, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.